Well, I want to say you're welcome, because I put my snow scraper back in the car this morning. I heard predictions of 1 to 3 inches, but then after on the drive over here, after I placed the snow scraper back in my car, it said 1/2 inch. All right. I think that snow scraper's going to stay in there until June. And speaking of snow, I want you to think for a moment, if you remember, think about the lyrics to the song. Got it? He's making a list, he's checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good, for goodness sake. We're talking about judgment this month. So I don't know about you, but probably by the time I knew the lyrics to that song, the words didn't scare me, you know, but the idea of this all-seeing, all-knowing Santa Claus who knew everything that I was doing, it's a little intimidating, isn't it? And he's judging, right? He's judging what we're doing. Naughty or nice, all the time. Wisdom, judgment. And then there's another phrase that that I thought of as thinking about this talk, and it is, dance like nobody's watching. That's always how I dance. When nobody's dancing or watching. That's not true, but what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about dance like nobody's watching? No judgment, certainly. Freedom is what I think about, right? You can just bumble and stumble if you need to. You can express yourself as best in any way you want to if you dance as if no one is watching. Now switch your perspective just a little bit, just a shift, and think about the ones who might be watching. Why are we afraid that somebody's watching? Is it judgment? Are we worried about what they're going to think of us when we're dancing? So questions came to my mind, and they were, one, when it comes to judging, who do we allow to judge us? About that for a moment. Everybody? Just your loved ones? Depends, you know? Who do we allow to judge us? And another question is, how do we judge ourselves? And who decides if something is wise? You know, Santa does, you know. So let me share with you the definition that we've been using. You know, we're going through this year with the theme of letting our light shine, letting us be the most Christ-like that we can be, and whatever we can do to improve that, that's why we're here. That's why you're listening to me, I hope. And we want to be better. We want to use these powers we have, these accelerated abilities, these 12 powers, wisdom, judgment being one of them, in ways that will allow us to be more Christ-like. The definition of wisdom/judgment is the ability to judge, evaluate, discern, be wise, appraise, and apply what is known. And as with the other abilities that we've already talked about so far this year, we know that there is both the sense consciousness version of wisdom judgment and then the elevated consciousness of sense of wisdom and judgment. So let's look at sense consciousness first. We use our sense consciousness to judge all the time. We said last week we are judging machines. We need to be, because if we had to analyze and make every decision over and over and over again, it'd be paralyzing. We wouldn't get anything done. So when we get up in the morning and we look outside and hear that there's a snow forecast, we judge whether we need to put on a sweater or a sleeveless top. We are making decisions all the time. And sometimes if we're relying on our senses, we may not be getting the most accurate portrayal of whatever we're sensing. There is a great story that is, it's a joke, but if we take it apart just a little bit, the story is of a woman who's, every morning, you know, she and her husband sit at the table and they drink their coffee, and they have a great window that looks out over their yard, their backyard, and they see their neighbor's yards too. And the woman has noticed and has mentioned to her husband that the neighbor's laundry is dirty. You know, when she hangs it out on the line, it's just not clean. So she comments to her husband, well, that lady's not doing her laundry very well because it's still dirty. You can see it hanging there. Several days go by, you know, and whenever there is laundry out there, the woman is commenting to her husband, she doesn't know how to do this. And then one morning she sits down with her coffee and she looks up and she says, oh my gosh, she must have figured out how to do it. Her laundry is spotless. And her husband turned to her and said, I cleaned the windows. What are we looking through? What are our perceptions? You know, it's what we see. There's another story that's like that I think is really cute. This one was in Wings. It's the newsletter from First Unity. And this is about this front page thing here. And it's kind of like that, but it's about kind of self-judgment here, sort of. This one is about a woman in Texas. Who's been to Texas? You know, Texas is, yeah. So Texans are a different breed, you know. I lived there for four years, and loved it down there. And they do everything bigger and better down there. Just ask. They'll tell you. So this particular lady decides that it's a gorgeous day, and so she's going to wash her car. So it describes how she changes clothes. She stops in the garage for car washing necessity and grabs her latex gloves from the clothesline. And she goes out and she's just feeling just, you know, lighthearted and exuberant. It's a beautiful day. She's doing this thing that she wanted to do. So she's soaping up the car. And she said, but as I lathered down the car, my playful thoughts became heavy with anger. I noticed a sticky substance on the car, gum. It smeared as I tried to wash it off. Now, have you ever tried to get rid of gum from anything? it's pretty hard. So she's very frustrated. Then she begins, as she's working at this gum, she says, she asks herself, why a person would purposely put gum on someone's car? The person was just being nasty and mean, is what she decided. Then she started looking for suspects. Who could have done it? And she decided that it was those kids at the library. They were just hanging out, and she said they probably thought it would be a funny prank. And so she decides that a just reward for them would be if they had to wash her car for every day for a month. You know, this is just not right. The gum was difficult to remove. It seemed to multiply as I diligently worked to remove it. As I inwardly seethed with anger and scrubbed the car, I noticed a pattern. Where I touched the car, a sticky fleck was left. That's strange, I said to myself. Leaned in closer to investigate, and that's when the truth became obvious. A finger of one of the latex gloves had melted as it was hanging in the garage, and so everywhere she touched, it left a part of the latex glove. She says, I was the one creating the sticky mess. She said she felt a gentle wave of both remorse and hilarity. Her thoughts, she said, my thoughts had accused, and once again, I was the one my thoughts should have been accusing. So, yet another sensory example of judging. She even had the culprits identified and tried and juried and punishment decided on. So when it is sense consciousness that is evaluating, is judging, we never have the whole story, do we? We just have limited. One other story, and this one comes from my history. This is when I was a senior in high school, a few years back. I had gone with my best friend, she was an only child, and her parents to Grandpa Pigeon's. You remember Grandpa Pigeon's on the Rock Road? And they had gone inside, and as I recall, it's been a while, but as I recall, you walked in and there was an area, I remember like concrete or something, and then there were two phones, if you remember phone booths. They weren't actual booths, but they were phones up on the wall. Because we didn't have cell phones, that was way before them. I think Brenda and I were each on a phone. I was seeing a guy at that time, and so I was on the phone with him. Music was playing in this little area. And so I'm dancing, you know, I'm just grooving as I'm talking on the phone, you know. And I was dancing like nobody was watching. I didn't care, you know, until my science teacher came through the doors, leaving the store, immediately stopped. I don't know if it was the Southern Baptist upbringing or what stopped me in my tracks. I did not want Mr. Prevost to see me dancing, and so I stopped immediately. Say what? No, it was not. No. So dance like nobody's watching, and that was okay with me unless I knew the person. And so I was letting Mr. Prevost, the science teacher, judge me, or allowing myself to feel judged by the science teacher. Now, judging in this way is very changeable, right? If I'm willing to dance in front of these people, but not this person, that's changeable. If I think that the kids at the library put gum on my car one minute, and then I notice, oh, no, it's not that, in the next moment, it's changeable. So sense consciousness is not the best way to be judging because it is likely to change. It can easily change. So then there's elevated consciousness. And elevated consciousness is when we align ourselves with that divine that is in every one of us. When we are there, then we are better able to discern, evaluate, so that we are being more Christ-like in what we're doing. I'll share a couple of examples with you in Scripture. Jesus, now he's the one who says, judge not lest ye be judged, but he talks a lot about right judgment. In these two examples, the first one is Matthew 9, verses 2 through 8. Kind of a familiar story, you probably might recognize it. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Then some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, stand up, take your bed, and go to your home. And he stood up and went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. So we metaphysically look at the Son of God as that Christ, and we each have that Christ within us. So if evil or the sins are error thoughts, when we allow that Christ self to take hold, then we are able to see light, see truth. The second example is Matthew 12, 1 through 8. Same kind of thing, another familiar story, I think. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And once again, we see the reference metaphysically to that Christ self. That is the authority, God and that Christ. That's the true authority, not these Philistines and scribes. Metaphysically, scribe means thoughts that come to us from the outer world. It's pretty clearly not that divine self that is giving judgment, is giving wisdom. This kind of authority, this kind of judgment, wisdom, is unchangeable. It doesn't change from circumstances. Unchangeable. Now, how do we use this? Well, from three modalities, I think we have a short answer. The first one is from Christianity. Jesus commanded us to do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we do that, you know, I can see that I'm looking through a dirty window. I can see that it is my latex glove that's doing something. And I can give that other person the benefit of the doubt as I give myself the benefit of the doubt. We each and every one of us, we believe, have this Christ, this divine center of us. This is the truth of our being. So loving our neighbors as ourself is knowing that to be true for every one of us. Second modality that I wanted to mention is namaste. You know, we've seen and heard people say namaste, which means the Christ in me greets the Christ in thee. Again, it is that knowing that we are Christ in expression as best as we can in that moment. And then the third is from this coaching program that I'm taking, and it's something called the Green Lens. In this coaching model, we are taught, and as we coach, we help people understand that we have a way of seeing other people. And we don't coach until we see them this way. And seeing the people through the green lens means that we see them whole. We see them as heroes. We see them as people who are doing the best they can. We see them as people who deserve our consideration and respect. Green lens. So I think what it boils down to is that we want and need to know the truth about ourselves. When we are looking at this judgment/wisdom, know the truth about ourselves, that when we align with that, then our judgment, our wisdom is going to be true. Know that about ourselves, know that about others. Now, I'd like to attach that to what we talked about last week. If you remember when we were talking last week, we had the example of the Japanese, little old Japanese man, and then the big laborer who was drunk and disorderly, and then we shifted and we could see that he was a hurting, a wounded man, a very wounded man. And we said then that if we can pause, if we can just in the moment, if we can pause for a moment and suspend our judgment and think about what might be going on, give it time. I'd like to link that. Go ahead and pause and then remember the truth of who and what we are. When we can do this, then we can be wisdom. Let's take some time now to practice. We do this each week. Practice our oneness. So if you're comfortable doing so, I invite you to close your outer eyes and just relax. We prepare for a time of quiet, a time of contemplation, a time to experience that divine self, to experience our alignment. And so to do that, we first relax our outer bodies. Maybe do a mental scan and see where we might be holding any tightness and let it go, consciously, purposely, let it go. And then we breathe. As we allow ourselves to take in deep, slow breaths, pause, and then exhale completely. Our bodies respond naturally by relaxing even more. So I ask you to breathe deeply and slowly and allow yourself to relax. By focusing on your breathing, it helps to put the chatter that our minds are always occupied in the background. We're just focusing on the breath, coming in and going out. Scripture refers to that still small voice. And that is also called the voice of reason, the voice of wisdom, intuition, knowingness. The practice of mindfulness helps us to get in touch with this sense. What we experience in this quiet is often a sense of peace, a safety. In this moment, all is well. And as we relax even more into that thought, all is well. We are safe. God and I are one. We can put down our guard. Can let the walls go down. We can open our hearts to that Christ self, to that divine wisdom, to love, and to peace. As we practice this experience of oneness and alignment, we allow ourselves just to rest, knowing that guidance is ours, if that is what is needed in the moment. Our wisdom lets us know that when we are aligned, that we have access to strength and comfort. When we are aligned, our wisdom tells us that should we be needing more prosperity, that we open our minds to divine ideas. The universe conspires to give us and to bring us what we want and need. We are open and willing and receptive to wisdom. As we do each week, let us take some time now in silence to breathe, to be still and experience being one in the silence. As we experience this peace, we know that we are able to access that perfect guidance. We are able to access the wisdom of the ages by simply becoming still and being receptive. And we also set an intention to allow our wisdom, to allow our judgment to come from that place of alignment, so that it is the highest for ourselves and others that we interact with, so that we can see ourselves as whole creations, perfect creations of the Most High. And others are also creations of the Most High, and we are each doing the best we can in this world. We see ourselves in this way, we see others in this way, and we are grateful. We are grateful for the awareness. We are grateful for this community that comes together to support each other on our spiritual path. We are grateful for all the many blessings that we have in our lives, our loved ones, our families, friends, our physical surroundings, homes, cars. Gratitude begets more gratitude. As we look to see what we're grateful for, we find more and more things to be grateful for. We are grateful for this time together. We're grateful for Jesus Christ, our way shower. And we come together now to complete this time of meditation and contemplation by joining together in love and in gratitude, by affirming the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.